strengthened for the work that they are doing. And for always taking an extra mile and the passion that they give to their work. It really shows from the construction of the suit that the member of the Kokoro Committee are working hard. And I would like to also thank the members for their participation in the joint oversight. I know it was not easy, but members did their best. And the manner in which, as the Cultural Committee on Arts and Culture, the manner in which we dealt with issues, and the manner in which we behaved, being there, we were punctual all the time, and the participation, everything, the art people who really end with this committee and the life of the part of this committee. It is because members really go an extra mile to do the work that they are mandated to do. I know in our office there were slight problems here and there, and I hope that we will find time to have an evaluation of the oversight, which was interesting, but there were some challenges that were experienced. I'd like to thank the honorable members from the bottom of my heart for their participation in that joint oversight. We are now, as we said, as a that there are matters within the department that we need to follow on, and we have taken a decision as a portfolio committee that when another problem is identified, we stick with the problem until it's resolved. And this is an undertaking that we did earlier. And we do that by having the item on the agenda every day until it is resolved. Because we believe, as we have heard from the Auditor General's presentation, that there are instances where the department is given a red light is indicated that it takes time on the wheel of the department are very low in some instances. And this is why we see in the decision of the community that if there is a net available to be addressed, we are going to have it in our present agenda item until that matter is resolved. I think the consideration of the minutes, we are going to do it at the end when we are done with the business that we have to do. And we are going to allow the department to give us an update on Sahara without an age, because this is a matter that we feel that needs to be resolved, and we would appreciate to get a briefing on the issue. Over to you, Department.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry about that. Thank you very much, Chief President. Good morning to you, members of the committee. Mr. Sentichis, it's been like a very long time since we last saw you, and it's good to be across the country subsequently, so it's good to be back in Cape Town with the portfolio committee. First of all, just start with the first, we came here in the presentation, she said she gave some clear deadlines and dates, and so our report will very much follow on from that. Unfortunately, I don't have a written report at the moment, but I'm hoping that the portfolio committee will accept this final report. Eventually, just to summarize, when we were here last, we talked a bit about the extent to which we needed some additional documentation from the South African Coders Association. That was received. We had then, on that basis, indicated that with that documentation, we would be preparing endorsement letters, which were circulated, or which would be circulated to a number of potential supporters of SARA, basically in terms of its programming and administration, and also for the additional regulation from there on with it, as well as a really quite speedy to conclude an MOU with regard to the renovation of SAR. which as I think pointed out in the settlement agreement is not in a particularly good state at the moment. So in essence, we are at the moment to be brought an agreement has been drafted with regards to the regulation project. $10 million has been set aside by the Department of Arts and Culture based on an assessment done by the IDP. There is a balance of about $14 million, which Star will need to raise and which the DAC has included in a series of investment papers that have been sent to, amongst others, the Minister of Arts South Africa, the National Heritage Council, the National Arts Council, the National Lottery Commission, and the City of Chancellor, as well as the Housing Department of Sport, Recreation, Arts and Culture. Those letters were sent essentially requesting for any support that would be provided to SARA for both the operational funding, which is a fairly substantive amount. The organization in its documents indicates that it needs just over $6 million a year to run itself in terms of its administration and operational expenses. But also, if there is any possible support that can be provided to the renovation project to raise the balance of the $4 million. With regards to our own MOU with the South African Royalties Association, there was a slight delay in the draft and the relay process, but the MOU has been sent through. And in the standard case with all MOUs between the Department of Arts and Culture and the funding beneficiary, the beneficiary is given an opportunity to obviously make input and comments on the MOU. Currently, we are in the process of still concluding that sort of comment process. SARA is continuing to request that the DAC support its administration and operations funding, and that presents a series of challenges for us. We have also decided that rather than moving through a fiduciary organization such as the IDT or any other third party, we would create a memorandum of agreement directly with the South African Royalties Association, provide for an administration budget which would allow them to appoint a professional project manager as well as any built environment professionals that they would need in order to fulfill the requirements of the renovation project. And we've done so in recognition of the challenges that we have with the IDP and some of our other agencies that we use for infrastructure projects, but also in recognition that SARA is perhaps able to better administer these funds being close to the ground and obviously in the building itself. So, Chairperson, in sum, the MOU regarding the renovation project is underway and we hope to conclude that soon. The letters of endorsement that were requested have already been sent out, requesting support both in terms of the administration and operation funding requirements of the organization, as well as the possibility of perhaps supporting the balance of the renovation project, as well as, and this was specifically in the case of the City of Johannesburg and the Housing Department of Sport, Recreation, Arts and Culture, to request also that they contact, for example, the Housing Department of Infrastructure Development to see if there is any kind of support that could perhaps be offered in terms of assistance with project management or anything like that. So with regards to the final matter, Chairperson, that is in summary the
thank you very much for the information. Before I give honourable members an opportunity, first of all, I would like to say we are disappointed that we don't have a judgment, because we had actually spelled out that this is an agenda item until it is resolved. And 2 days are set aside for portfolio committee on arts and culture. So you don't even need to be reminded. 2 days are a holy day, not a holy day, a holy day for arts and culture. So we are disappointed that we don't have a document. Because if you had a document, it would actually spell out that this is this I apprehend. This is what we have. We say we are going to do. This is where we are. This one is complete. This is what is happening in this area. And it would make it easy for the community. And as I said then, and I'm saying now, at the portfolio committee, we need concrete dates. Because if you say soon, soon is in 5 minutes, in 10 minutes, in a day, in 2 days, that's soon. We want concrete information to tell us on which day is this going to be. Because that's the only way that we can monitor. We can't monitor on soon or later or whatever. We need dates. Then that will assist us to monitor the work that you are supposed to do. And I will give now over to honorable members to ask questions that may come. Honorable members.
I think it's last month we had a building department last year talking about investigation. And maybe what sentence he was said last time. And of course, I would think that we normally are in that form because we don't have nothing to say to what I did in class. If you knew that you're coming to this community to come, and give us the information about them. You are supposed to have better communication for us. Last time we came with a business, all the departments would go on our interview presentation. But today, you have the department and say, well, how much we change the department in our conversation? And I want to say, well, stop on the table. You are receiving an email every month, and you have to respond to you are working a very practical position in the department. You cannot just come every day in this department and do this to us. What must we say to people like this? We are here to work at the department, but the department is not doing it well. For chair of the committee, I don't think we are the department itself. I'm the vision of the university. Come with that movement that we have seen with us. Show us which are the objective or the content that we have worked through. We can't come talk about people's social infrastructure and development of housing. There are a lot of things I don't know what they're doing. Whether they're doing a memorandum of understanding with them or not, or whether there was a meeting that was scheduled between those departments in the city. We are not even sure. So maybe this is for the last time we come to this meeting. Infrastructure. We are not cheating, we are here to work.
Thank you, honourable member. Is there any honourable member that has a question or comment? Thank you. Oh, honourable member, something?
Last time we asked the question, I don't know where it is, but it's a common question. Where are the extended? Expenditure to which Monica is referring to is actually in the application. We did ask a question.
Let's avoid to say we fit
and quantity. There's nothing that will be exactly in front of you. Come back every day, presentation that they want to present before us with a documentation. That's why we're going to be getting their report. Thank you, Professor.
Thank you, I would like us to engage the department with one of the members because they should respond to the questions that have been asked. Because as one of the members arrived, he said, what are we going to say to the people? And I think it's totally unacceptable that as the committee we do our work and the department doesn't do it. It's totally, totally unacceptable. I would give the department an opportunity to respond to the questions that have been asked to respond to those questions and later we wind up again.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you, members. I acknowledge the difficulty of the presentation today and with the permission of the portfolio committee, we have to rectify the oversight of the written report by the end of today, if I may, and in which case I will then use the previous report as a framework in which to report on progress today. So I'd like to do that with the permission of the committee. With regard to the question on expenditure, in essence, what was planned for in the APT was the trio contract that we have with the South African Relief Association, which supports the international program. We see that as a very valuable training initiative for young people. We support the Relief as they take some of the young students to work with the international festival, and we have a three-year budget agreement with them, which will conclude in March next year. So that is in the APT. With regards to the expenditure, for the renovation project, that we have just gone through a reprioritization process of the capital works budget, and with the passing of the adjustment budget, that budget will be confirmed and will be made available to the South African Relief Association for the renovation project. In terms of the further information, I will certainly provide deadlines as far as I can, Chairperson, with regard to when we foresee the MOU would be concluded. Obviously, with regard to the letters of endorsement, that is essentially up to processes like the funding rounds of the National Lottery Commission, of which two of them have already opened for this year, and they will conclude themselves as per the new regulations within 150 days if lottery is able to keep to the regulated standards. For other organizations like the National Arts Council, the South African Relief Association has a current issue with a funding proposal that was submitted to the National Arts Council, which is currently we've sent in our internal audit team to have a look at what happened there. But for the National Arts Council, for the NA, for the Relief, to submit a new proposal that will be in the next funding round, which will start next year. So what I'll have to do is break that up for the individual agencies that we have now approached on behalf of the South African Relief Association. Thank you, Chairperson.
With the 10 million that is going to be made available to Sara, in which financial year should this be expanded?
Chairperson, we've made provision for it in this financial year. We are 6 months left, so we're hoping that the project can conclude itself. If, however, it does not, we will make provisions in the next year as well. That our preference is that the bulk of the project is concluded this year as far as possible.
Do you really think that a 10 million project can be concluded in 6 months? Taking into account the processes that have to be engaged in for the project to take place in the first place. Do you think that 6 months is enough, or do we give the 10 million and it will sit there for another 3 years while there are processes? And
my other question is that are the meetings taking place between the AC and the other meetings, that in that meeting, there was said that there should be meetings between the AC and the monthly, I don't know whether it's monthly meetings that have to be so that this is the task, there is common understanding between Sarah and the department of how things are going to unfold. Are those unfolding? Are those meetings between?
I'm not aware of meetings that have been happening at official level. I do know that there's an enormous volume of correspondence between us, ourselves and the South African Relief Association. I will need to confirm with the bishop and get back to you on that. With regard to the 10 million rand project, the full amount may not be able to be spent, but if you look at the assessment done by the Independent Development Trust, it is, the project comprises a number of almost smaller renovations. So quite a lot of the work, in my view, in fact, could be done within the 6 month period, obviously factoring in a period over Christmas when the construction industry is generally closed for business. So I would argue to you personally that it's quite likely that the bulk of the funds could have to be spent. Obviously, the primary challenge is the conclusion of the MOU. What we have asked SARA to do through the contract is to bring on board a professional project manager and for the project manager to essentially develop a set of timelines that will help us to manage the project and obviously plan the budget accordingly. Now, the delay in the MOU have obviously delayed the appointment of the project manager. So there are the business and project creep here, but and I do understand the portfolio committee and patients with work on studio and because they're not specific. But I'm certainly hopeful that in the next 2 weeks we'll be able to conclude the MOU with the South African Relief Association, make the first transfer of funds, and that will enable the project to begin and kick start. One of the concerns that we did have with using the RDP was about the pace of delivery, which is why we thought that SARA itself might be a much more limber organization in terms of its ability to contract the necessary professionals and to ensure that they get the necessary contractors on board quite quickly. Because we, as you know, Chairperson, through the presentation that we've done on the infrastructure portfolio, we have struggled in some cases with delivery from the IDT.
I'm looking at the 6 month, we are in October now. If you are saying 6 months, you have not signed the MOU yet. Okay, can you give us a picture of where this 6 month is? Daniel, where is this 6 month? Because I can't actually see the 6 month before the end of the financial year. The MOU is not there yet. And can you give the portfolio committee a picture? Because as the portfolio committee, we have to oversee. We have to make you account. So once we have an idea, a clear idea of where the thing is now and where it's going.
So, Chairperson, the 6 months would in fact include October, which, as you indicated, has already started. It is important to recognize that given the scale of work,
we can't include October because we don't have an MOU yet.
We don't have a finalized MOU, but there is a draft MOU in circulation. So we are of the view that it could be concluded in the next 2 weeks, which will allow the transfer of funds. The scale of work is such that many of the programs in review can be implemented in parallel, but in essence, a professional project manager will help us to make those kinds of decisions a lot more effectively. Also, obviously, factoring SARA's own operations because they, in fact, operate out of the building. So, Jason, I agree with you. I think that I'm confident that a lot of the work can be done in 6 months. As I indicated, I'm not convinced that the entire project will be completed in 6 months. Jason, I was factoring in October. Because, in essence, if we're able to conclude the MOU in the next week or two, that will allow for the securing of the services of a professional project manager who can then begin the process of identifying the various components of the project that include, for example, dam pumping, rewiring and those kinds of things, which can in fact be done in parallel with a range of different contractors.
Can we next week, as the Portugal Committee of Abuse, just plan that this is not a plan, so that we are sure of what it means? Because you said earlier that December, January, you know, so what December and January are out of the 6 months, so mm-hmm. Nobody's doing work to do that to work. So I can't find the 6 months. I'm trying as hard as possible to get this with 6 months, but I can't. If you can bring up the plan next week, Tuesday, of the plan, 6 month plan, I think that's also going to receive something. Are there any other questions? Okay, thank you very much. And I think, as the committee has said, we don't think the department is taking us to the rescue, because this is a standing matter, and we are not saying this today, but we always said that we need to get the information a couple of days before the meeting. And you come to this meeting without the information, and this is totally unacceptable. We expect the department to give us information timely, and we expect the department to do the work in between meetings. You don't just go out and say, oh, we're done with the portfolio committee, we're going to see them next Tuesday. It doesn't happen that way. As you move out of that door, you are engaging the matters that we discussed here, so that in the next portfolio committee meeting, you had a lot of time to prepare this. We had a lot of time to prepare this. And I think those people, we know that you are not the actual person who deals with the matter, but you need to ensure that those people who deal with the matter do it and give you the information. I think it's very important for you to do that, because as the member said, this is totally, totally unacceptable. And next Tuesday, we expect to get all the information. We are not letting this off the agenda of this committee until it is totally resolved. This is how we show them to put things in the portfolio committee. Thank you very much. We are now going to proceed to the next item of the presentation by the department. We have just received a presentation from the AG, and let us congratulate the department on the unqualified audit. I think that is an honor to congratulate you, but there are matters that are serious that are being raised. And by 2014, he said by 2014, all departments and entities must have a clean audit by 2014. And this has not happened with the Department of Agriculture and other departments, I assume. But there are issues that are being raised by the AG, and the issues that are being raised by the AG are the issues that we have been raising as the portfolio committee. The issues that are being raised are the issues that we have been raising as the portfolio committee. And I think when the DG, is the DG coming? Yes, he comes back, and they should be, they were supposed to be here by half past to start the presentation. But I think the members are ready to ask the questions that arose from the presentation that we have, and from the presentation that that she's going to be able to retire next. There is a lot that we need to look at. And we want to emphasize, as we always do, the issue of NDC. And I think we need the department to tell us how far it has gone with establishing a unit within the department that is responsible for NDC. Because the bulk of your budget is transferred to NDC. If the entity fails, it means the department is failing. That is why we think it's important for the department to have to look into that element. Thank you very much. You may have noticed. We were in the video of something that you want to do. We welcome you, Minister. We were very happy to see from heaven. And especially after we had a presentation from the AGC's office, because the meeting that we had earlier was a meeting where we were receiving a presentation from the AGC's office. And I was just saying that we congratulate the department on the unqualified audit. We think as a committee that congratulations are in order. But the amendments that have been raised by the AG's office, and I was saying that those amendments that have been raised are amendments that we have raised as well as the portfolio committee. And we will go deeper when we are discussing the presentation of the department. And we are hoping, because the relationship that we have with the AG's office, I think is very important, and the relationship that we have as the portfolio committee with the department is important. We've always said as the portfolio committee that this is not about any of us, that it's about the people that we are serving. We must always have that in mind. And as I said earlier, the presentation by AG is really showing that there are areas where we need to focus on. And there is one slide that was showing that we are stagnating on the issues that we need to do to improve. There is stagnation. And it's important for us to note that if we want different results, we can't keep on doing things in the same way. We can't keep on doing things in the same way if we want different results. So it's important for us when we look, when we are given this opportunity, it's like being given a mirror to say this is how you look. And then it means that there are those areas that are not well that we need to look into. So we really appreciate your presence. As we know that you are busy, but we appreciate the fact that when you are in a situation, there are things that you don't see that are seen by people who are outside. And as the portfolio committee, we've made this undertaking from the first day that we want to work with you because we want the department to improve. Not for itself, but for the people that we are serving. We welcome you. I'm now going to give over to you, Minister, and then thereafter you tell us how the presentation is going to unfold.
Thanks, Chair. And good morning to you and to the members of the Corporate Committee. And we want to take this opportunity to thank you for giving us this time. also the year where we were affirming through going to Nepal the kind of society that is of a united nation and a democratic and prosperous of society. It is this society which we are giving a task as this portfolio to really look into all the aspects of this strategic perspective we have is within this nation. And as we go, we should ask ourselves through our work whether is South Africa united today as we sought to create a nation South Africa. And if not, what are these gaps we need to fix and how we fill those gaps? All of us in society. What is the basis of this unity which we bring this to build? Are we an ambitious society? And ask this question throughout the course. We will all agree that in 1994 we inherited a state without a nation. There was no nation to talk about before 1994. All of us were divided along tribal ethnic groups, be they Xhosa, the Khoisan, the Tswana, Afrikaner, the Amazigh, and so on. And all of us agreed that let's do everything in our power to really build a nation. So it is incumbent on all of us to be doing something to that effect. Now, African culture, as far as we're concerned, is the mirror that reflects the complex processes of nation building, and this nation building we're talking about, social cohesion and transformation projects in our country. At the same time, this very portfolio also acts as a catalyst for change. And if we have not realized that, it means we have not done what is expected of us. It should be activating ideas and embracing of a new concept. And for us, consistently, this belief and our long standing policy on international relations, which is characterized by cooperation, north-south cooperation, south-south cooperation, and so on. And as I articulated in the Freedom Charter, this is the year of the Freedom Charter, which proclaims that there shall be peace and freedom. We should also be understood through hosting the main man, African Month in May this year, that we were informed and compelled primarily by this belief of peace and friendship in the world. And that was for us the festival of ideas and showcased the achievement of the continent in various ways, because this work of uniting our people would not start and end in South Africa. It has to influence all of us to make a contribution throughout the continent and the world. And as we asserted, we still are asserting now, and we should go forward, that everybody who is a South African has to know that first and foremost, that person is an African. As we proclaim we are African. And as we do that, we also celebrated the identity of a continent which embraced much the 10 African ideas at the beginning of the last century. All of us would be familiar with the Berlin Conference of 1884-85. Which was not taken lying down by the African leaders in the continent and in the diaspora. That's why in those days you had 70s before Henry C. Williamson, that their role in saying that Africa is one and Africa indeed is the head of humankind. Sometimes as South Africans, we feel that we do not understand that and the meaning thereof. In the 1980s, for instance, the voices espousing the African liberation were joined by Nadia Fiki, a great and influential intellectual of note in the continent, who said, among other things, and I quote, "I'm a living spirit of an idea, the idea of a new Africa. I'm a living spirit of an ideal, the ideal of man's humanity to man. I'm a living spirit of an ideology, the ideology of the effectiveness of man's inhumanity to man." But it also continues to say that conceiving the intractable nature of the spirit and born of selfless desire to utilize culture for the service of humanity is destined that the Renaissance African must carry the torch of the gospel of the new awakening from the west to east and from north to south Africa. For him, the five principles for new Africa should include spiritual balance, social regeneration, economic dissemination, mental maturation, and political protection. And we see that all these are interconnected to create a complete human being and humanity. The great theater has been to ambition so eloquently the regeneration of Africa. Already in 1906, this intellectual and great African was the final South African soul. It was here that his ideas were first formed that a brighter day is rising upon Africa. If you look today, the AU Agenda 2063, what it seeks to do in the Africa rising narrative from the agendas that resonate well with what those who came before all of us have raised, like Christmas, and one of the things that he said in the quote here is that the ancestral greatness, the unimpaired genius, and the recuperative power of the race is irrepressibility. Which assures its permanence, constitute the African's greatest source of inspiration. Yet, while African culture seeks to inspire Africa and the world to witness the pattern of development and underdevelopment coming out of centuries of colonialism, segregation and apartheid is one that continues to dominate our society. It is layered upon the sediment of the past dispensation that functions as part of the foundations of the new order. And as a result, ours is an inheritance of multiple fractures that have yet to be healed, despite the infinite echoes of art and culture. When we look at this from the perspective of the NDP, Honorable Member, it remains our task to remake out of our fractured past a more socially and economically inclusive society that is proud of all its cultural expressions and aging that act together to enable the birth of a new culture and create new forms of engagement towards creativity. What this means is that it's in line with the Constitution, which enjoins all of us unite in our diversity. The Constitution underscores the point that we are coming from different backgrounds, but we are one people. Whatever we are, whoever we are, we should be proud of our roots, where we come from, and who we are, what identifies us. Without ignoring and looking down upon other people's cultures and and as if we get a commission. That having replaced the society, the process of building our nation out of the bad cash and the economic debt of tyranny and inequality, that's the MVP, is a response to five key dimensions, namely one, inclusive social and economic development, secondly, sustainable investment and growth, thirdly, decent jobs and sustainable livelihoods, fourthly, a capable developmental state, and the fifth one is the expansion of opportunity. All of this, the Honorable Chairman, says to us that we cannot talk of building a nation without looking to the fundamentals of the nation. If there is no economic justice, we are not going to be anywhere near the achievement of our goals. If we continue to have the challenges of joblessness and having the kind of economy which is growing slowly, which is sharing jobs in different sectors of the economy, then we are going to have a difficulty in achieving our goals. We also raise the point that the NDP points us to the path of ensuring that we indeed reach a point where we say that our state is capable and development, and that is the thing which we committed ourselves design a set of both programmatic interventions. The plan itself proposes a roadmap of radical engagement with all sectors of society during the second phase of our transition to 20 years. And the MDP, if we look at our portfolio, a co-directive from itself, has this to say, and I quote, "Art and culture opens public spaces for engagement about where the society finds itself and where it's going. Promotes and effectively, the creative and cultural industry can contribute substantially to small business development, job creation, urban development, and more." Building on the foundations of the radical economic transformation, as we enter the second phase of our transition to transform our society, a brand new era is upon us. We shall turn our programmatic goals into practical interventions that together constitute radical economic transformation. Our plan going forward responds to the unfinished business of economic transformation as a framework for the economic vitality of our social and cultural environment. It restores social transformation as a pillar for nation building and unity. This identifies a common national identity and creating a cohesive society among our top priorities towards the realization of Vision 2030. And in our social cohesion strategy, we have advocated the development of social capital as a resource created by relationships between the people. It is crucial, therefore, that our efforts to build cultural entrepreneurs are rooted in initiatives within the local context that encourage creativity, confidence, critical thinking, and problem solving. The challenge we face as a society today is to build cohesion amongst ourselves. And this, from the chapter, is the posture we are taking as we reflect to the year under review, noting that we sought to come and change things for the better, as we have been qualified of it. And ours was to change that situation. And we are on the path to change it. And we just shared what the Auditor General said about the situation now, that we do have an unqualified audit. We are also concerned about matters of practices, as we have said. And we're going to send them around. We have perennial problems. As you said, also that some of the things the AG has raised, you yourself have as a portfolio audit, and we are having tools. I can mention a few, that the PANSTAR audits continue to be this perennial problem. It's a disclaimer, then it's a disclaimer now. And things don't do good going forward. What gives you confidence is when you see intervention at an operational level. But if you see that people are doing what you said, are doing, that you keep on coming up with the same kind of solution to the problem you have not solved those solutions before, then that becomes a problem. And I can assure the portfolio committee that we are not just concerned, but we are doing everything in our power, because we see PANSTAR as very key in nation building projects. You know, the languages in South Africa, as you know, we have 11 official languages. And among these languages, there are only two well-developed languages, that's English and Afrikaans. And it's not difficult to understand why. Even from a resource point of view, you have research arms of these languages, and over a period of time that we develop. We trust that by having PANSTAR, we are going to increase the tempo in developing other languages, for instance. So we think that the PANSTAR has done everything but language development, particularly the rest of the undeveloped languages. And we cannot allow this kind of situation. We should reach a situation where all languages are at the level of English and African. So if we have a mechanism and people responsible for that and not doing what they're supposed to do, we should find ways of raising people who will do what is supposed to be done. So the disclaimer for us is not a surprise. It's not a surprise, because if you have no clarity on what you want to do, and you can't convince anything that you know what you are doing, that's what I'm about to say. As I said, Chair, we are doing everything within the legal framework to effect change there. But we also noted that some of the entities have decided to be resident in the qualified space. That also talks to our future projection as we go on in the process of the white people, that what you do in this institution, because quite frankly, you get a sense that it's wasting resources when in fact you're supposed to challenge them somewhere. Part of what we are seeing in this process of white paper review is that some of the entities have to collapse into one. Others must find a creative way whatever. We give them all the understanding. You have powers. Compare powers with market leaders. In fact, we give powers more than the market leaders. So why did something wrong here? Something is terribly wrong with how we view our entity. As I say, the ideas of most of them are very important and they need to be captured. But we cannot go on with this kind of corporate governance, which is not in order. And you can't keep on writing one and saying the top, you know. I can tell you that in your own visits to different oversight, visits to different entities, you can predict some of them today in your next visit what's going to be happening. So we are determined to move the speed on the right technology and rearrange the whole thing, because 80% of the budget of African countries go to these entities. They go to these entities, and when you see things happen like this, you know that you have bigger projects and programs, and some of them cannot even come up with any tangible program production. There in health. So we are going to be rearranging this check, and I think that we are on the better, we are in a better space now. Our path is clear. We will, as you know, if I can make a friend with cancer, we'll be talking a different story today if it's not for family damage. Because what I think, we are not going to see any better. I'm sure that it has come as a result. So, Chair, thank you very much for giving us this opportunity. As you said, you are going to go in depth, and that is that you know hope, because we are partners in this space. Some of the things which we were not going to know, you got to know them because of your own overnight visit and when you work as members of parliament and that the center to zoom in to some of the very specific areas which we have. In some instances, hasn't been informed by the department, but in other instances, not as in depth as you when you go there, take your time. All I want to say that when you do this on class generally within your time, we hear what you say and we want to ensure that we respond accordingly. Thank you very much. Also again, the decision on the intent you spoke of will be able to go through the details of each area of our work.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister. And we, as you came in, just talking about the entities, saying that if 80% of the budget of the department goes to entities and fail, and those entities fail, it means the department has failed. So it's very important for the department to keep in. I think what you are saying is giving us some comfort that you are looking into this area. And that the entity, the department must have its finger on the pulse of the entity. Because if they don't do that, that means that the department is failing. So we are really comforted by the fact that you are saying that we are going to give this area you are giving this area your full attention as the department. I'm not going to waste time. I'm going to call upon the department to do the presentation.
and we've been seeing this on quite a long presentation, so we're trying to quickly go through so that we have more time for engagement. So we have three parts to the presentation: the overview of the different programs, and also then we look at the financial information, and then look at the performance of entity. Most of the strategic overview has been provided by the minister, and so then I will just go into the details around the department overall performance. So we've achieved about 71% of our objectives, and over the years it has increased from 66 in 2013 to 2014 to 71%. So there's still a lot of work that needs to be done so that we are closer to the 100% mark. And in the priority program that we will be highlighting on, and we had presented before in the strategic plan, and so we'll just highlight some of the achievements and the challenges. The minister has outlined quite succinctly around the importance of social cohesion and nation building. And outcome 14 is a program that is led by the department and looking at various things like the language of the constitution and fostering constitutional values, analyzing opportunities and including promoting inclusion and redress. And MPSF has then 14 outcomes that we are leading from outcome 14, and we have a number of departments that are part of the implementation forum that are actually contributing to our social cohesion and nation building. And to date, we've been able to convene the implementation forum chaired by the DAC, and there's four progress reports since July 2014. And in spite of the significant support, I think we're still finding some challenges in terms of the depth and quality of technical assistance, but also the absence of data from, example, the provinces, and also with our entity. So these are some of the things that we are then working on so that we can be able to present a fuller picture on how every tier of government is actually contributing to social cohesion nation building. And also, the 12 resolutions taken at the 2012 summit has resulted in, for example, us having the 30 community consultation, but also hosting a report that summit in March 2012, setting out our program going forward, but also to have the social cohesion advocate and providing them with platforms to ensure that we are mainstreaming social cohesion and nation building across the nation. And the minister spoke about the revision of the white paper that we are going into very intense now in consultations. We had initial consultation in three provinces, and you'll see over the weekend papers the dates of the other consultation to the other provinces, and also going back to some of the provinces like Gauteng. And so there has been an overdrive to be able to complete the white paper before the end of this current year, so that we can then be able to effect some of the changes that would be coming through and engaging with Parliament and the Portfolio Committee on some of those. And then coming to the golden economy, in the annual report we do outline some of the achievements where we've been looking at the MGE work streams, including the Liberation Heritage Route, and with audience development we were able to exceed the target around cultural events, and also with touring ventures and public art, and of course assisting schools, which is an ongoing challenge in being able to say how do we make sure that we are expanding that and also be able to have quality arising from the artistic school in terms of the program. And now how we performed, over 1,000 applications received in 2014-15, we still see the trend of helping. And so the challenge is to say how do we be able to spread the project across. And you see that Bualan and the Free State are not at the lowest, so it's Gauteng 49. And so to this also need to have education to make sure that they get equitable spread. So this is a current result, but we are actually looking at how we can improve on making sure that we have an equitable spread across the provinces. And when we look at the impact of the NGP program, we found that local audiences in most cases represent up to 50% or more audiences, and an average of 95, they indicated that they would return. And it also has a contribution to the local economy, such as, for example, the National Arts Festival contributes about 184, almost about the amount that we sponsor, but the multiplier effect on the government economy is about 134.4 million. And so this is just some of the other examples of the economic impact of this. And to build demand, we started with the Art Bank, and we were able to put the framework together, and this year is about implementation. And then also we are building the Zanzibar Golden Market. This year is about now the rollout of that. And then when we look at also making sure we are able to continuously get research about the impact of the Zanzibar Golden Economy, we have a 3-year tender that was finalized at the financial year end for the Cultural Observatory that was awarded to Nelson Mandela Metropolitan University, and the National Missing Study that was concluded. That shows that the arts and culture sector contributes to about 2.9% to the GDP of the country, which is quite significant, especially when you consider related to other sectors, that arts and culture actually can have quite a huge impact. And so this came out from the National European Study. And when it comes to heritage, the Liberation Heritage Route and the Legacy Project, this Legacy Project was started in 1998 and was championed in terms of the INC under the leadership of Minister of Arts and Culture. So part of the roots is that we have different projects such as the Saruman Spiral 5-Month Center of Remembrance, where we have started work and we spent about $24 million on that in continuing work. And also we worked on the National Heritage Monuments, where we were able to have 56 sculptures that were completed and were installed on Overseas Heritage Month in Swane. And this also leads up to the Heroes Acre, which is a priority project for the ministry, to also be located at Krumkloof Nature Reserve. So at the conclusion of the environmental impact assessment this year, then it will be going to cabinet for further endorsement. And then part of the Liberation Heritage Group, we have the JL Debate Phase 2, whereby most of the prioritized elements have started, and the construction of the amphitheater access driveway park is about 85% completion at the end of the financial year. So hopefully this will be completed around the 30th of March 2016. And also the Nome Phase 2 was opened by the President last December. And so this also forms part of the Liberation Heritage Route. And then we also have the statue of Bambata that was installed in April. However, then the unveiling would be happening in the current year. And so there's just some of the highlights in terms of the achievements in the 2014-15 around the Liberation Heritage Group program. And then the repatriation program, the department in the financial year successfully coordinated three repatriations of Nelson Mandela and the struggle Starwalk being on this contaminated NJP mark. And within Nelson Mandela, it was well covered from repatriation the remains from New York back to KZN, and the reburial took place in the Heroes Acre Cemetery in Chancellorville in September 2014. And then with the JP mark and Moses Kodanev, the burial from Russia, and that's why it's called the state funeral, and the burial took place on 14 March for Moses Kodanev. internet in Bella and Jose Remote in 22 March 2015 in Manchester, and this was officiated by the president. And the greatest challenge with the repatriation program is that this repatriation, of course, has raised more requests around that, and we don't have a national policy on repatriation, and that's what we are now busy working on to make sure that there is a coherent policy that governs every province so that we have a coordinated approach. And because also the budget involving the repatriation is quite significant, so therefore we need to be able to make sure that we have criteria that can be applied given those budgetary constraints. And with geographical names, so the 2014-15 year, so there are no new names letters. And so we have had some challenges, and we know with the issue around Makalo, for example, where there's some court cases. And what has become clear is that the lack of definition of clarity on public participation and consultation in terms of this has created some of those problems. So we're working hard on making sure that we arrive at how this consultation and what is the evidence that needs to be included in the consultation for the name changes to actually pass through. And we also have our national symbol program where we had the national holiday or ceremony taking place in April 2014. Now, what is the school's program and the bursary? In terms of the total number of flags that were issued by the end of 2014-15, and they've been installed with 14,115 flags, and this is part of the flag in every school project, but also we are using this program to be able to advance nation building social cohesion and clarifying the national symbols. And also, over and above, we're working on joint projects with the departments of basic education, such as NASCI, choir festivals, and also the CASPAR program where we help them do capacity workshops with the creative arts teachers and subject advisors in schools. And then when we go to the language bursary, we completed a 3-year cycle where we've been able to have 900 bursary opportunities provided and over the MTEP, and then we had 284 offers in 2014-15 in those different universities. And similarly with heritage bursary, we've had about 73 students which were sponsored, and about 54 which were women, and 29 which were men, and they were registered in those different universities. And also we've had training programs around soft skills for the sector, especially around film and scripting, visual arts, and other residency design, music video production. And so, but in the current financial year, the incubator program started kicking in, so it's not reported there. Library program, we've had 13 new libraries completed, and we'll go into the details around this when we then look at the financial implications, and then also there are about 20 libraries upgraded. And also through the conditional grants, we were able to have about 1,600 staff, library staff employed. And also we work with the public, with the Department of Basic Education in building libraries, especially dual purpose libraries, to be in close proximity to the schools. And this is also getting much more traction, whereby we've had 9 current libraries in Gauteng and 4 in the 3 states. And the cultural diplomacy program, we have 2 seasons program, one in the South African year in China, and also the first year of the UK South African season. And in the financial year, we also had the Charter of the African Cultural Renaissance ratified, and which is quite critical in the implementation of the aspirations of the EU Agenda 2063. And then we have also participated in multilateral forums, including BRICS and EU SADC from NEFA. Around language, and we've had a lot of interactions with the committee on this one, that the South African Language Practitioner Council Act was passed. However, of course, the funding of it becomes a challenge. And And then also with the AAC language policy, we were the only department that met the 2nd of November deadline, and it requires an extension of that, which will be put in the next financial year as well. But as of the deadline of the financial year end, we will be the only government department complying with the use of official language act. And also in terms of terminology development, there's continuous work taking place to include things, fields such as like orientation math, African culture, and so forth. And in terms of human language technology, that's a very important one to enable the translations to take place quickly. And so it's also the development of HLT is dependent on the availability of high quality digital resources. And so we are continuing on the implementation of this project. And then we'll have a separate slide on the DAC entities. And we have setting up the National Day in terms of the Scholarship Program. So this program is an highlighted area that we were celebrating, the 20 years of freedom, and also the themes of all the National Days were informed by the 20 years of freedom. And this was well taken across departments in terms of using the logos and also including the spirit of the 20 years of freedom. And so these are the various national days that we held in the current financial year. And just some of the challenge that we still face is the failure to attract diverse population groups, and also sometimes the lack of synergy between the two spheres of government. And so that needs to be addressed, and also the low level of financial support from provinces with some logistical implementations, and sometimes it leads to late withdrawal on financial and procurement commitment, which then needs the department to come in there, and that also leads to non-compliance when it comes to procurement, because there's not enough time to be able to do the procurement process. So those are some of the challenges which have had an impact on some of the non-compliance. And then the archives program, we held our annual National Oral History Conference around October. And this is also critical because then it has the learners program, which includes report back on oral history project in terms of the learners in that region this particular year. And also this included the 10 names recited by some of the learners. And also we celebrated the UNESCO World Day for Audiovisual Heritage. Also, we have concentrated a lot of budget in terms of the digital works in this area, which will cover generally what some of the challenges around that. But we've been looking at the ventilation systems in making sure that the archives don't get ruined physically so that they can be able to be used over and over again, but also digitization of that. And also we look at the refurbishment of the old buildings so that we are able to make sure that we have enough rooms to house these archives. And then also we've had a Rivonian trial, it's a Belt project, where we're working with the French INA Institute, and there was the first batch of the Rivonian trial that we digitized, so it makes it accessible for scholars, for learners, and a wide range of users. And so some of the job creation statistics, and this is where also we had some problems in terms of the with the Auditor General being verified and some of what we actually mean in terms of evidence of job opportunities. So this is an area that we are looking at to say how do we actually measure those jobs that are created. But overall we have about 17,000 jobs being created through the MGE screen, and about 7,900 in the performing arts institutions. Now, coming to infrastructure, because there's quite a big budget goes to this, what we found that there's quite a number of challenges in terms of how we manage the infrastructure that's been spread all over the place. So we now being able to, in terms of the different branches, we've now centralized it into one area, and also being able to increase, because currently we're having two official dealing with infrastructure projects, and that's not sufficient. And so part of the solution is to increase the technical capacity, but also establish an something because we don't have clear processes in terms of funding criteria with our entity, who qualifies and who doesn't qualify. So we're currently also working on the policy on infrastructure, and then also around determining the development of the user in multiple asset management plans, we call it the UN. Most of our entities are struggling with this because then they don't know how to quantify some of these things and it results in escalation of costs. And so we've been able to now say, how do we bring on capacity to help us develop this so that we can be able to avoid costs overrun. And then in terms of the impact of this partners program, we also have youth, children, women, and people with disabilities and senior program, and part of the critical thing is to mainstream that across all the department's programs. And so this current year that has now been done, but we also report from some of the programs that we've done for these groupings. And then coming to HR, in terms of the vacancy rate, so we have the current vacancy rate of about 7.7, and then we look at the financials, we'll also be able to look at this. To be able to deal with some of the vacancies, we've had contract staff to come through, and so when we look at the under expenditure, we'll also be able to see that that was decreased by having contract staff to be doing some of the work that is that should be done by community people. So this is something that we're trying to reverse so that we can be able to keep the vacancy rate low. And then also when you look at this female representation at senior management, the target is 50%, and we're able to achieve and have actual representation 54%. And the challenge that we have around the performance management system, and we found that we only had about 92.2% of the assessment that were finalized instead of 100%. And also by the financial year end, senior management was not actually evaluated at all. And so we had to have a backlog for the different years when we were evaluating the SMS members, and that was then only completed in the current financial year. But there was a problem in the last year. And then going to the report by the Auditor General and the financial information. So over the years, we had qualified, and then last year, 2013-14, we had qualified audit opinion. And this year, we were able to turn things around, but of course, there's still quite a lot of root causes that we need to be dealing with. So let's look at what was the critical thing. There was a statement in the financial statement in terms of how we accounted for certain things, and then we fixed those. So we worked on making sure that we don't have this going forward by looking at our financial controls in terms of financial reporting that we are putting in the department. Finding on our compliance with regulations in adequate systems to prevent irregular expenditure. This is a problem because the core problem is our supply chain management. Now we've dealt with the policy and you'll see that impact in the current financial year. However, we still have a perennial problem around human resources in the area, which is what we've been dealing with now. And similarly linked to that would be the procurement and contract management, because this is the source of irregular expenditure. So we've been able to identify the root causes and then just so we can be able to start implementing some of the mitigations against these root causes. And then there were findings on the pre-determined objectives, especially the main finding was around the drop numbers and kind of evidence that is created. So at least we were able to improve from the last year in being able to be very clear about what evidence now supports the performance on the predetermined objectives. But then we're still struggling around the evidence on the jobs because of, in terms of the basis of how you actually show this is how many jobs that were created across and the multiplier effects on that. And then unauthorized expenditure, we didn't have that in the current year. And then when we look at the history of the irregular expenditure, and it's been the balance at the end of the 2013-14, 171, and the balance this year has increased from 131 to 292. Now you have some contracts that have multiple years. So the minute the contract is declared irregular, you have to account for that until it ends. So to this effect, for example, the bulk of that was waiting to consultants, and hence the wife of forensic investigation to be able to say how to meet before we can get that. We need to have an investigation at the CMA, and then we can then be able to deal with that, either as recovery or condoning. And so the forensic investigation is nearing its completion, so therefore we should be able to see a decrease in this number. And also attributable to the increase is that we've still had some of the procurement challenges that accounted for the increase in the expenditure. And so those mostly relate to consultant and procurement issues. So for those that are subject to the investigation, we should be able to condone. And then through the implementation of our procurement policy in the current year, we should be seeing the decrease of irregular expenditure. And also that when we have a quarterly reviews, we can also be able to update you to see how this has been actually decreased over time. And also, as a trend that we have, and also regular expenditure relating to potential regular expenditure around the cultural precinct, and so part of the investigation is covering the cultural precinct, that is related to innovating and non-meta cultural precinct. And then when we look at the pre-testing wasteful expenditure, the trend last year was the closing balance of about 8 million. This year it's decreased to about 4.6. And so we've been able to deal with some of how we haven't had a big increase in the incurral of new expenditure. And so we're keeping a very tight control on making sure we identify and deal appropriately with the free cash and wasteful expenditure. So what is critical about this is the consequence management. And so once the audit, the forensic audit on the irregular expenditure comes through, then that's when we need to then be able to apply the recommendations that will come from the one consequence management to be able to deal with not having it recover. And for those where we need to recover the money, then we will then institute the appropriate action. And what we've done is that we have made sure that we don't renew the consultant, for example, whose contract has expired, so that we don't score and incur any new expenditure and irregular expenditure, and make sure that we follow the right processes. Now, getting to the numbers, the final appropriation was about 3.5, and we only spent about 3.4, which gives us some under expenditure of 72 million. And the 72 million is spread out across the different branches, but the greater amount relates to heritage promotion and preservation. And then when we look at the details in terms of the economic classification, we've had variances on the goods and services. Now, with the goods and services, we had included, for example, the accommodation cost of our entity as part of our goods and services. So we then had to reclassify that as part of the transfers to the entities. That's why you have seen a big deviation. But also what you are seeing is around capital works that we did not spend fully the amount allocated to capital works. And some of the reasons were that there were certain to institute certain policies in making sure that the amount that we were paying were supported by appropriate evidence, because you don't want to just pay money and actually find that it's not going to achieve its intended purpose. And so there was a delay in reevaluating what should be actually allocated. And the result is that we only have two people dealing with these capital expenditures, and therefore the backlog built up, and that is why in the parenting needed to increase capacity. And so that contributed to therefore the under expenditure. And then when we look at according to economic classifications on the compensation budget, we underspent by 765,000. Now, when you take into account that we have the vacancy rate, so you would expect that this amount would be higher, but it's not high because then for the vacancies, what we were able to do was to utilize contract workers to be able to do some of those critical work. But going forward, from according to the labor law, we need to make sure that we don't have that system effectively of carrying short of contract, but make sure that you actually give full time employment for the people. And so that's what we've done now in phasing out some of the contract workers where we should be actually filling the vacancy. And I've explained the one on the correction of the office accommodation, but also in terms of, we have set aside about 60 million in terms of the finalization of the lease that has been identified by the Department of Works, because that did not happen by the end of the financial year, and hence we didn't spend on this money. And then in terms of goods and services, the bulk relates to the accommodation, as explained. And then moving into the library grant, so we've fully transferred the money to the different provinces. So the way this happens is we transfer the money to the provinces, and then the provinces have the money and they have to spend it. And now, so you will not be able to pick up the expenditure directly here. So when we then go and unpack how the provinces spend their money, you can see that Eastern Cape has spent about 35%, Free State at least 95.5%, which is quite good and encouraging, Gauteng about 92%, KZN 88%. Now Limpopo, and you would check, I guess, from your also the oversight research, they're not spending their money. And it's about 15%. And of course Treasury now, if you continue to understand what they do, is that they then take that money away. And so we had received letters like recently to say now, because there is about 100, so if you look at the total spend, and the spend is about 145 million combined by the provinces. And so Treasury has said that they will also take some of that away, which of course then affects the delivery on the library. And so to this effect, we are working out to fund the system to make sure that we are able to address some of the issues. One of the issues is that it takes too long to actually choose the design of the library, and also the procurement processes are a problem in the different provinces, and you're not able to also have adequate staff to manage the rollout of the building of the library. So those are some of the core constraints that are contributing to the understanding. And we are finding a way of having standardized design, and also saying how do we actually build capacity that could be able to assist. So in terms of utilizing the capacity that we're also building in our infrastructure, that could also help with the acceleration of the library. And then when we look at the various subsidies paid, most of them are in line except for the capital transfers and the Zanzibar Golden Economy. Now, why are we sometimes underspending on the Zanzibar Golden Economy project is that we pay in tranches, so we approve the full project but pay the first tranche first. By the time the year ends, you might still be remaining with 10%. And usually with that 10%, you would then be applying for a rollover with Treasury. So we'd never be able to receive a rollover to Treasury, and that's why then we do have underspending. So it's a fine balance, because you also don't want to give money 100% away, because then there won't be any service delivery and people would have the money, so there wouldn't be any consequent management if they don't deliver. So usually when you pay in tranche, you say we won't pay the final tranche until you deliver the project. So that's going to be, that's a a perennial problem that we find, so that we can't be 100%, but we have to hold back. And if we don't receive rollovers, then that money gets lost. So in that case, we have about 2 million under expenditure with the NGE project. And with our entities, the spend fully and allocated, and except where it affects Kitsol Works project that you can see there on the Kitsol Council on Heritage Institution. And so I will then try to close off on this one and then quickly go to the entity. When we look at our entities, in terms of performance overview, and the fact that we've only achieved about 59%, which is not really encouraging, even 67%, so it's not a great move. And between 2013 and 2014 to the current year, and in terms of some of the audience development, in terms of all, these are just the key performance areas. And that's what I have to be just looking at the auditor general report. The minister spoke about that we unfortunately can't show the last column properly, but in your presentation you will see that they think all the state 9 entities, but the number of entities that move from unqualified to qualified increased this year. And then we have the disclaimer which you can out. Now, for those that were unqualified with no emphasis, those are the entities, but those that had qualified with also this was with methods of emphasis, so these are sort of fine, but then the ones that are problematic are these ones, the Reform National Library, Nelson Mandela Museum, and Mindy Grove Theater. And of course, all of these have come up in your oversight report and have actually highlighted some of the problems actually with all of these. Now, what are the perennial reasons? Now, when you look across all these entities, they are affected by Grant 103, valuation of heritage assets, which came into effect the current year. What that means is that all our museums and so forth need to value their heritage assets so that they can actually show this is how much it's worth. Now the problem with that is that you require to be able to bring in valuers to actually do the valuation, and we did not increase the budget because the cost treasury has said there's no increase in budget anywhere. And then secondly, to be able to get valuers, also we don't have many valuers of heritage assets in South Africa. And so this is a problem. And also, the risk is that by valuing things more, we are actually able to say, this thing is actually worth 10 million, therefore you need to make sure that you have security. So which means that you need to have security and you have to have insurance. So there is huge budgetary implications that arose there. And so in the CFO forum and also the CEO forum, these were issues raised. And then the minister took it up with the Minister of Finance, and we requested to say the implication of this has unintended consequences, and therefore for the financial year of 2014-15 to be able to say, can we be able to receive an exemption so that we actually enable the entity to prepare how to be able to deal with this over a period of 3 years. And so of course then by the time the response came through, it was then for this current year, it's the exemption will not apply, so they are considering that applying from the 2015-16, which means that the readiness of our entities actually to implement this was not there due to the financial constraints, and we were not increasing their allocation to be able to deal with this matter because we were the freezing of expenditure from Treasury. And so we've taken the problem with Treasury. So when you take it legal, so you find that if you look at the heritage asset issue plus the contingent liability together, then that leads to a qualification. But if we did not have the valuation of heritage assets problem or three problems, So if you, I mean, take it in, you would not be qualified. So one would have to also just maybe be mindful of that background and that popular community looks at that qualification. But of course, some of these, like really broad and dissolved, those are big problems that not only relate to Group 1 or 3, but there's much more matters that we are really concerned about. And also with the state ESA, issues around internal controls are quite a concern for us. And of course with PENSA, that's the perennial problem that we're having. So the impact of Group 1 or 3 in this year's qualification is actually felt quite keenly. And then in terms of the government and the constitution of council, so in 2013-14 we moved from 96, and in the 2014-15 we had all our entities being fully constituted, and then it comes to some of their rates in terms of how long, how many times they meet, and so forth. Part of the white paper process is we'll be looking at some of these, because we have some entities having 35 meetings at the council and others having 4. So now you can imagine when you have 35 meetings, some of those are problematic entities because you can see that there is just too much interference in by the council, and so there's no appropriate drawing of lines in terms of government. So those are some of the issues that we are dealing with. And that's why you see the number of council meetings at this year has ranged up to 30, so which is quite concerning. So the white paper then should be able to deal with some of these corporate governance, and what is the best practice coming relating to corporate governance. So I will stop there, Chair, thank you for your indulgence.
Thank you very much. I'm not going to wait any time. I'm going to give over to the members of the Portfolio Committee to ask questions and make comments without waiting any time. Should I recommend us? Honorable Pinatu, Honorable Tomacho Lady, Honorable Mokosu, Honorable Portwom, Honorable Nadia. Okay. In that order, we are the last honorable in that order. It will be honorable Bangladeshi and honorable Marshall. In that order, honorable Pinangu.
Okay. I support all my choices, but let me firstly welcome the director. But on page 46, there were these numbers, 6, 7 like that staff were employed. I don't know whether they can be able to or to indicate exactly where these numbers fall into, in which provinces and how many per library, because there was a situation where you'll find these big numbers reflected, but only to find that when you go to the library itself, maybe only two officials go to them. For instance, you find that there is one official and a cleaner. And to me, it's not healthy to be able to see the library meeting as expected. On page 52, in 14-15, I think the number here, there is a decrease of the number. What happened? Or what measures did the department try to put in place in order to make sure that instead of going down, it's better to be at par or put in there more effort. Again, on page 8 and 9, has created nine jobs. Is the nine jobs cutting across the nine problems? Or the nine jobs is for a specific problem? Because it's national. How did they come about to this nine? I don't think it was recovering all the main provinces, and there's a lot of calls to be attended because we were getting claims before, which we have more than the number that has been reflected here. On page 8 and 9, under infrastructure, the actual intervention and progress. My proposal would be in future to have maybe the time frame. In order to be sure as to when are we going to implement what we are saying, our intervention. On page 71, under human resource management, for me it's to congratulate the department. In most departments, they are paying really to get a percentage, like the 50% management of. And we're going to apply people with disabilities. It's not easy. So for the department managed to have this 2.4 instead of 2% to me, we went so hard. And I think the method we use in order to get this, we can share with the other departments in order to have, in order for other departments also to reach their time. And I think that is 3.7 weeks. The very first line, if I think it's limited to this, that's a lot very much. How did this happen? And what corrective measures have been put to the officials in this? It's not clear on that part. On page 89. There's no indication of the in your report about the 30 days treatment. I don't know whether you know that in the department or it's just a slip of an eye. Or if they are there, can you please ask me the number? On page 96, under the book, we don't have great interest. Because a lot of things are happening that down there. I don't know whether the progress is not taken care of, or the people around that progress are lazy, or what. The indication is shown that the money has been taken back because of some other challenges. What happens to the personnel who failed to implement the seven project? Are the department or the province failing to do this simply because they are not having the rightful people to work on the positions, or is because they don't have enough personnel to make all the positions like while we're on oversight down there, we have seen that there are a lot of positions that are not filled. So I'm not so sure whether this happened because of this or it happened because people are lazy to work. Lastly is this appointment of 15 conditional grant staff. Why so late? Why do you believe that the department plan their things correctly and make sure that they appoint those people on time? Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, I want to appreciate the report. As my colleague also mentioned earlier,
30 amongst us who treat it irregular expenditure. 2011, it was 64 million. 2011 to 2012, it's increasing to 72 million. From 2013, it falls to 97 million. 2014, 2015, this financial year, it falls to 292 million. It's supposed to be stabilized. But why is it increasing? And also the issue of the golden economy. Where is the evidence of the initiatives that were supported? How has this MGE program added value to the work of the department? All the initiatives mentioned were always part of the work of the department. So how has this MGE added value then to the work of the department? Number three, on the issue of illegal, as my colleague mentioned earlier, but I won't say the thing that she mentioned. How will you conduct an audit of all these libraries? Whether they are properly resourced or not. My experience with these community libraries is that they don't have sufficient books. The libraries are not fully trained and they are overwhelmed. So what have you done or planning to do to ensure that community libraries become centers of knowledge generation? The issue of national archives. If I still remember the last committee we had, we raised the issue of national archives. It's 5 years down the line, there's no national archives. But the department promised to employ the people from that position here in October. So I think I remind the department about that. And also on job creation, where were these jobs created? What kind of jobs were these? In which province is the most jobs created? The last one, the issue of the Arctic. Would the Arctic then involve and then the artists, what they generate their revenue? But all the government people in the today have not received the same report from the Arctic because they've been telling it ever since. As we mentioned on page 41, you said James.
thank Allah for many. Allah for more.
I think that's Thank you. Question is just
like that issue really thing in the end of the day, one school is standing construction of this number of all at the end of the day. But surely it might be difficult to find the other one in all the schools.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question is related to the closure of the reconciliation route between the Freedom Park and Coast Guard Monument. How far is the department in resolving that problem? And also, the reconciliation bridge connecting Zume and
when we presented this issue, that we also had dealt with extensively earlier on before your arrival of the headcount. It is on that part. The issues of cultural transplant are very crucial. So that entity continues to behave in a very strange way. The issue of Joe Castle's name, I think it was concerning that in the report, you were informed that no name change exists. This is the last creation we had last year this time. We did raise the issue about the whole question of the inclusion in the geographic names of our community. And we were hoping that there would be some movement forward to the forums, like we met where some of these things could be done, because we cannot continue, especially to have the kind of retelling of names that are still there in our country without achieving this inclusion. It's a serious problem. And it's intentional to us. You know, yesterday, I wanted to go to Empire, 55 Empire of in Johnson. Put that people in my cheek because I didn't know exactly what to do. It took me to that foreign country some days to go with the car. And I struggled to, putting you back to the Empire. It's a serious problem. And for me, it is better because at least I know it always is. If I visit Africa and I want to go to now, say that, and it shows me back to my land of origin. It's actually a very bad thing, but I think we need to deal with this matter. Honestly, objectively, take emotions out of hand and with the problems of the citizens. It's a problem. Many of those names are actually bureaucratic people. Now, I just missed something when I was talking about languages. There are patterns that you've allocated, but you've not indicated which language. Because the reason why I raised the question, if these pastors were telling us, we would then know as to what languages we're telling. But we must not also take care of the sign language, because it remains quite a sore point in the recent visit that we were taken in the community to schools. We have found that the sign language continues to suffer quite extensively, and I think while it may not be probably the energy of this department to deal with, but this is something that I think we need to be looking at and seeing as to how we are doing, because we are a repository of languages. There's a new right I would like to raise on the matter of the celebration of something. It's a small, insignificant matter, but I think it's a very painful one. You know, and I'm reminded because I spoke to my colleague here from Limpopo, there was an event in Limpopo recently, and it's now the celebration day. And actually, we told each other, I said, why don't you go to the event? I'm in Limpopo. And he said, okay, I'm on my way home, so. I was hoping that is there any invitation for us to go when there was any, and I think the department can improve on that aspect, making sure that if the event happens in the two colleagues, for those who are coming from there, if they are not seen by their communities in those events, you know, there's a serious expansion happens. So something that could have been dealt with very simply. That is a very invitation to the church for this event, coming for the coming 12 months. These members who are available attend, so they are very important to us as in getting achieving what the minister has said earlier on with regards to the nation's living and so on and so forth. With regards to capital progress or whatever, method of capital nine and a half. And that's why they are willing to take 10 million to start. But you have a situation, for instance, in an entity like your bankers, where they have experienced several bankers in prison because of the energy thing. And I would give you this issue, I think, in one of the last time that the person need to assist the entity because especially to intervene with the power outage problem. And now, if you have an expenditure of such magnitude, surely if you have made those few items available to strategic entities like your day house and university, also the gesture of the good performance board, many years, I believe I spoke to the matter comparing day house and the pack cost, but failure for us to incentivize this good performance, actually, it is also I think if we could look at those kind of things, we would be very happy because people they interact with us and we listen to their plight and we're very sympathetic to them, but we really don't seem to be as particular. And then there's another issue that is of concern, and I think the minister is here. For the lack of a better way, privatization of our historic inheritance. Things that are our heritage. You started with the concern of the apartheid museum. Apartheid museum is in Thailand. And the danger of that entity being in private hands, which is actually our regional heritage, and a very unique one for that matter, which was characterized by organizations and stuff. Leaving that thing in private hands may actually be lost to this country for life. And I don't know how we are planning to salvage that territory. But the market was simple and small. But now, 1900. We have also seen that this is a situation now we visit at Nelson Mandela Health Center during our recent visit. Also going private for people, in order for them to access if they will have to act with quite a substantial amount of money. So, the situation of the privatization of very important iconic spaces and narratives that are supposed to be belonging squarely in the Department of Agriculture. And the last thing I'd like to raise is this grant issue. I'm making with the feedback that there has been an intervention because we had a meeting earlier on this morning with the Postgres, and we raised the issue about how is it possible that entities that were seen to be performing very well have now taken on several of the teachings to the institution? And this is owing to government. Now, the argument of that, government can't allow for exceptions and exemptions. So what needed to happen is the department should have on time indicated that we have a challenge of this nature with all the mirrors and butterflies in their mirrors, and that was going to be very expensive for us to adhere to this matter and they want to come. Now, in the sense of the people, we have this legal business that has taken letters for a qualification and a few others on a matter that we have been avoided long term. I think perhaps the game is where we put in the doorstep of the partners for failure to on time anticipate something that will happen and deal with it. And now we are now almost reacting to something that we have
one other thing that the portfolio committee has been saying all the time, that officials are aware of the means that under extension is a crime. We've been telling officials that it's criminal not to spend money that has been given to you to serve the people. And as Honorable Marshall was saying, I think what the officials need to do during this period of the district of us, they need to apply their mind when taking decisions. Because you can't have institutions that are threatened by closed shedding, like your theater at the middle of the production. Powerful. Can you imagine? Can you really imagine what happened to those people that are viewing this production? And how much more is happening in the mind of the people who are hosting this? So I think it's important for the department to apply its mind when it looks at this, during the period when they are given an opportunity to look at it. Because if you understand to the portfolio committee, you've committed a crime, and if we were back, we would arrest you. Can you imagine you being arrested because you've committed a crime? According to us, under expenditure is a serious crime. So I think it's important for you to apply your mind. And with your heritage institution, in your key performance area, the collection, there is a decline. What is happening there? I think it's important for us to get an understanding. If there is a decline in the collection, what does it mean? How does it happen? It's important. Also, in an educational and outreach program, there is a decline. And I think we need this more than ever, those outreach programs, to schools, raising awareness, you know, education. I think it's very important because our young people need this awareness program. They need to be aware of their past, their present, and who they are going. I think it's very important. And the department is at the center of society. It may seem that it is at the periphery, but if you look at where it should be, everything that is happening in society is coming around the department. So it's important, if you are building houses for people who don't even know where they're coming from, what are you expecting to happen? So I think you need to ensure that in whatever you're doing, you put the department at the center. And also the issue of language has been raised by honorable members here. We need to take this seriously. Earlier on, when we were having a meeting with AG, with the AG's office, we're saying they have given us a booklet that has valuable information. And we're saying to them, this is in English. And the information that you're getting here needs to be disseminated to communities, for communities to know the terms that are so significant, like fear rating, like expenditure, and unauthorized expenditure. A woman in Guatemala, in Athens, must begin to relate to this issue, must understand exactly what it means when we say unauthorized expenditure. What does that mean? So if we don't take this issue of language seriously, truly speaking, we are going to leave our community behind. And also, the issue of the background that I give, I think is important. You have an African style museum, you have an English language museum, and those are the only museums that we have that speak to language. What are we saying as the department about that? So I think it's important, the language issue should be something that we prioritize. I think I'll give I don't know how, if Minister would like to say something, maybe after lunch you won't be here. Maybe you'd like to say something so that we can wait for 15 minutes and then we can say. I'll give the Minister that's the opportunity to just say something. something or respond to some of the issues, and then you think everything is like that.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks to honorable members for their valuable contributions that you have accepted. The issue about surrogates and widows in the past, they honorable Mashai has something which to some degree government would have limited influence in, especially the prioritization of some of the standards, cultural heritage and so on. And some of them were changed into Section 21 cavalry and all those things and so on. And others are being engaged, but once people start that stage, it becomes difficult to engage and have them change. There are other benefits which goes with this thing and so on. But the best statistic that we are asking. So the difficulty here is that when you have entities which are not government entities, it becomes difficult to justify the operation or claim for operations for those entities. And in most cases, we nudge them to agree that these should be state entities. That is not the case. And that's broadly the issue with the for characters of the freedom pack. So about the security thing, security salary, this, that, and the other. And the question that immediately arises, but why did you pay for this one and not this one, which is not a government entity? So it hasn't been an easy thing to manage, but I can tell you that from the point of view of the department, for federal monument is one monument which government has spent much of its revenue having it without being a state entity. So it's that kind of difficult. And I can tell you that remember that there's been a lot of requests. And these requests are based on this empirical evidence as well. We see you deny us because we are not a contract at the moment. So it doesn't get easier. And we understood a broader objective of society, of nation building and so on and so forth. But everything also has its own limit. And the message is to communicating those entities with from time to time, because you know, some of them are so vulnerable for our nation building process. When they are in difficulty, you want to come and intervene so that you don't have them dying. At the same time, they are not going to continuously follow up with the actions of themselves and so forth. I think the Honourable Corporal has raised a very fundamental point of how we handle this national state. But we are also making mistakes if we look at them outside of the context of the process of reconciliation, which I'll come back to now. But just to say, so we know for instance, the buying of the t-shirts of the ANC as a party, as we are saying, cannot be condoned. It's important that we have raised this matter, which in turn we have to raise it to our counterparts and properties, but particularly the Northern Jesus, that you know for a fact that that happened. Coincidentally, this discussion takes place in a week
think you need to define it about this letter of respect. For example, the part of the problem is how we implementing the reconciliation process. Because of our drive of wanting unity, we have sometimes over very important aspects which are going to have a different process of this reconciliation agenda. And one of those is that we're always trying to down the borders of our people. With the emphasis of that information, which should be effort as we move forward. But this information is not going to be built on completely sounded reality. Because this is what happens. Children who were born in 1994 and thereabouts, most of them in social institutions today, have been made to believe that all is well, there is no progress in South Africa. They present the reconciliation agenda as if we have arrived working at us. We are working for us, as we are working towards the nation. And I want to tell you that nobody, this is going to have to talk about it. Then from the schools, which was on the sea and so on. No, there's an issue of that because of progress. It's not about the and they wait after they reach the other schools. Hence your campaigns also transform and so on and so forth. If we are true to ourselves, we should be having a discourse about what is coming as a cultural revolution. We should be led by people who are not necessarily going to be able to control it. And that is our answer. We should find a way of connecting with the youth in a true, open and frank way. Because they will not understand the imperatives of what led us to be committed as we are on the reconciliation agenda. So we should discuss that. I think people take a conscious decision of not going into this national debate. It's not because a problem or some institution and so on. In any event, national days are national days. If you come with your traditional guard, then you can institutional, whatever organization, it should be a mix because they have about nation building skills to where your DA teaches to come there, or your ASP or your freedom card, all of them together. But we do need an honest, open discussion about this. Because if we don't do this, we'll stand around the issue and not go to the actual problem. We must be able to allow people to voice out ideas. Say, no, it's anything into running the software. In that here, let's go to the heart of the problem. What is the problem? Why are people not coming to this national case? And then we'll be able to find answers. I need to, before I leave, touch on those points, and the very important courage of the scientific symbols of our country, which are a make-up of the heritage.
them that they will be welcome to a group of experts who are going to look at all the issues that have
that they can. I'll speak and
15 minutes to write something so that you can pay him and fix the problems that you can have a letter?
Yes, I understand. But again, I appreciate the minister here, that she was here to minister myself on that side, but I think I'm sanctioned with this and the onwards. I even think that I agree with what you're saying. And I think it's very important that those industries be. That's, for example, on our statutes, we need to be faced from others. And you can take my record by condemning the order. In the bar, you can use that, I can give it to you. And so that's the type of example that we need. Therefore, I'm going to do this side, you're going to do that side, and hopefully that there's some atmosphere out there. And there are church people that like to go and write it. That's the easy part. I can do tomorrow, I know exactly what to do for the next few months. So thank you for that. If anybody who has a special color in our life, I'm so glad to have them, but I have the Portuguese of views. The Portuguese are gone, the French are gone, the English are gone, and I'm here for every commercial. And that makes a difference, and that's why I'm here with success. Because I just react to the second one, and I know the way. And I tell you why, because I discuss issues, and we also discuss them. And then you look at it in different perspectives. So somebody that's a misunderstanding and people must try and solve that problem before it seems the conditions of not differentiating of fighting criteria from the first point. They argue 30 days, they said they reached out, they want to work together, give me letters, etc. from the past and how they sort of from their time. The court is very good, so you have the same part on this side, monument and this side, and they work together, and it will stabilize the location of reconciliation. And they give me some examples of how this negotiated in the past. And then even the road in a symbol of an event in the end. And I would open up, and the end of the day, the benefit of the road has the benefit and others in this one and the other one with absolute energy. But then there was something in the past, maybe promises, I'm not sure what it was, that some of the past could be covered by that. That is on writing, I can check that for you. And they say that those promises were not kept. And now they have trouble. They lost 45% of income because of the Chinese tax not coming in. What the Chinese are the people that visit that one who goes to them. I think they're afraid of having the diseases in the north of Africa. And therefore, it's a cross argument on this side, not the reconciliation argument. And I'm not sure how we can resolve it. I know that they're arguing that, but that's the monument's failure. But I think this one is different because the two together is for the benefit of the people. Well, you've got the figures from the park and our university today, there's more business on the monument side and this side, so that you can argue. It's for better for the park to open that so that people can move between. But just what you said, to put it that way, and maybe I'm in the middle of that and that one to be a sedated way. So I think it's important that they stand each other, not in the nation state, those in the face before they make each other, then go to reconcile. This time, but now, that's a very long message. They say that's not good. Thank you.
I think that the issue that you need, as I understand earlier, when we are in the portfolio committee, we raise some kind of things that we have heard of. So it gives you an opportunity to present when it comes to the officials of the department. But as the portfolio committee, we appreciate that you will give us today, and we are hoping that you will give us more time to do that. So that we raise issues that we feel that need your attention, that we appreciate it very much. You are not taking it for granted because we know that you are busy. And the issues that are being raised of the port program monument and also the reconciliation bridge at the time point, all the time. Because once it becomes about us, there is a serious problem.
Thank you. which is physical teaching. So why is it different? That is something that's going to be separate right now. I think we still have to answer some of the questions in one of the discussion topics. So you are going to be part of it.
You don't have to remind me, but you know that it's already
what's